Hey, great now to have old friend Ryan Nolan back on the line, coach of Danvers High School football. And, Coach, welcome back.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much for having me back on, and appreciate everything you do for us over at Danvers and high school football in general. Really appreciate it.
Well, Coach, it's right back at you. We talked on Fall 2 and on the trials and tribulations of coaching during, you know, this pandemic and teaching and trying to make do. But since then, Coach, we've had, I'm going to put the word in quotation marks there, pretty normal football. And tell me a little bit about the season, because I know following you guys from afar, I've been to a couple of games. You've had some really, really close games against tough opponents. I think maybe the one game that probably didn't go so well was Marblehead. But other than that, you played a really tough schedule, and the boys, they seem to be improving.
Yeah, I think at this point in the season, we broke our season up into three different sections. Challenge and non-league portion to start off, where we had Reading and Tewksbury as part of the schedule. Then our league portion, where, I think our division in the NEC is very strong this year, and you can see it in the playoffs. Marblehead's a fantastic team. So is Swampscott. So is Beverly, and so is Masco. So there were a lot of tough games in there, and it really didn't go our way. We had a tougher league schedule, but now we're into the playoffs and played another tough team in Whalen, and we're able to come up with the victory. So we kind of just moving forward into the third portion of our season, and looking forward to the challenge of playing Duxbury this Friday.
Well, I want to talk a little bit about the Whalen game, but first, Coach, the game that was memorable for me was the Reading game because, they're highly ranked and they came in and took a lead and so on. And they had so many chances because of unforced errors or they forced the errors, whatever the case. But you had so many goal line stands in that game. I just can't believe how your guys played so well defensively. And coming out of that, they had to feel pretty confident in who they were.
Yeah, and I think that's been a staple of the team for a couple of years, that the kids are able to, rally back from tough situations and take things one play at a time, and that we certainly needed that to keep it close in that game. But, the kids responding, that makes you feel good because it's easy to do the right things and play the right way when everything's going your way. But when things kind of, you see the adversity and a couple of things, you get a couple of bad bounces and kids still, do the right thing and trust each other and play hard, that's very gratifying as a coaching staff.
Absolutely. All right, now the Whalen game. Close first half, you get a field goal, and then they get a couple of touchdowns, you get a couple of touchdowns in the third. Back and forth, pins and needles in that one?
Yeah, it was a hard-fought game on both sides. They were a very good team. They put up a lot of points throughout the year, and their quarterback was a real dynamic athlete in their spread, and we knew we had to try to take him away. I think in the first half, we did a pretty good job of that. We also did a great job moving the ball up and down the field. A couple times you struggle to get points just with the, one play in the red zone puts you back a little bit, and, we weren't able to convert, but we knew we could move the ball, and in the second half we eliminated a couple of, that one kid not getting the snap count or not running the right play or something like that, and we were able to put it in the end zone twice, and that was the difference in the game because as it went on they adjusted to what we were doing defensively and found a way to get their quarterback more opportunities to run the ball in better situations. So it was a game of adjustments and just hanging in there, but I think our offense played very well moving the ball, and then in the second half they were able to punch it in with two touchdowns. That was huge for us.
Yeah, and I noticed a guy named Goodfellow. I thought there was a Goodfellow on the Reading team too, as I remember. But anyway, your quarterback, Travis Voisin, big day.
He had a really big day, and he's been improving every game. He had a real breakout game versus Tewksbury, throwing the ball up against man coverage, and he made good throws, and kids made some really good plays. But this game, he did a very good job of processing the information. A lot of the times his first read was taken away, and he kept his composure, and then he found the second man or the third man he was in the read progression. And then on top of that, in some situations, he put the ball up and allowed our kids to make plays on 50-50 balls on third and long and fourth down plays that were really a difference in the game. So his improvement and his mental approach to the game and decision-making when, people are running at you and you're a sophomore and they're trying to, take you to the ground. He did a great job of making decisions when, there was some stress put upon him.
That's pretty cool, because I know Coach Ingram would talk about passing games when he's up in the press box with us, and he just says how difficult it is for a high school quarterback to pick up a second or third option or do just what you said, to put it somewhere where you guys have a chance for it. So that's very impressive in your young guy.
Yeah, and again, he's a young player, but I think at this point he started about 13 varsity football games, so his experience and his experience is much more than a typical sophomore quarterback, and we're really happy to have him.
Ryan, you always have to brag. I always have to get you to brag about some of your linemen, so who do you want to start with?
I think if we were to start, there's a bunch of them, and it's a bunch of seniors up top, up in front. Caleb Reasley's one kid who actually just came back from us two games ago, and unfortunately broke his left hand in our first scrimmage and then broke his right hand in our second scrimmage.
Oh, my goodness.
So he hasn't been able to play, had to let that injury heal, but he's been back, and he's been a huge emotional lift for our team, and he's a really good player. He's a great kid. He's a senior, and I think more than anyone else, he appreciates the opportunity to go out there and play. So having him back has been a real emotional boost for us and makes us a better team on both sides. And another guy that comes right to the top is Mike Leon, who's been a three-year starter who's just improved every year, and he's probably our best lineman on both sides, and he's an emotional leader. He's great at taking kids under his wing and helping the young kids when they get out there know that they're not in it alone, and he constantly pushes the standard and expects the kids to live up to that, and he's been a great leader for us and a great player all year long. And then just to go with the other seniors, Parisi, Glinos, two captains playing both ways, doing a great job for us. And our fifth lineman right now who's playing is Brad Wilichowski, who just showed how unselfish he was, moving from fullback because of the injuries we had and players not playing, and playing center for us as another senior captain, just switching positions and doing what was best for the team. So really can't say enough about that group in general. And one guy that's really made an impact defensively is Dominic Baez for us, who's been playing D-line, and he's another senior that has really been a breakout performance guy for us at fullback and on the defense line. So all these kids stepping up have really helped us as a team this year.
I really love when coaches mention the kids who have changed positions, because so many times kids along the line, as they're growing up, they know that they're quarterbacks, or they know that they're split ends or whatever it might be, but then the coach says, we could use you over here. And it must be difficult for kids to do it, but when they do it, it's a fantastic lesson, especially when they're successful.
Yeah, and Brad, there was no doubt. He kind of knew we had to do it with the injuries we had at the position, and lost one or two kids that could have played there. And when we sat him down to talk, he goes, I know what you guys want to do, and I'm anything for the team. No,
oh, that's
problem.
Cool.
I'm there.
Awesome.
So it says a lot about the kid, and says a lot about the group of kids and how much they feel as though they owe to each other, which is a real big part, I think, and, a good football team and having great team culture.
You do. You have ever since I've known you, and it's great to watch and great to get stories from. The D4 seedings are pretty amazing. I look at D4, and I'm looking at schools like Foxborough and Duxbury and Tewksbury, and I'm saying D4? So it's quite a battle there, Coach.
Well, it's nice, too. The other thing is, again, we played Tewksbury a bunch of times. I know Foxborough.
Yep.
We haven't played them, but we've seen them in 7-on-7, and actually one of my college roommates was from there as well. They're similar-sized schools, so we're going to have the same amount of kids on the sideline. We're going to have the same amount of kids going both ways. Everyone's dealing with injuries and plugging people in. Everyone's playing younger kids. Before, when we were the smaller schools in D3, us in Tewksbury, we'd play other teams with rosters of, have 1,400 kids in the school and have 80 kids on the roster and 25 seniors. So they were able to absorb some of those hits you get throughout the season a lot better than we were, just due to pure numbers. So I think it's a little bit more level playing field. But again, all those teams are very good teams.
Mm-hmm.
Duxbury and Scituate, I mean, there's a lot of good teams in Division IV and Ashland as well.
All right, so Duxbury, the last time I saw Duxbury, I think they beat Gloucester in a Super Bowl many, many years ago. But Duxbury, another reputation of a strong football program down there. And have you had a chance to look at the video?
Yeah, we've watched a lot of film on them, went through, and they are a really good team. They've got an outstanding wide receiver and a quarterback that can, you know, throw the ball as good as anybody. They run a spread offense, and they've put up points all year long. They're really good on special teams, and they're really good defensively as well. So they're a real, real solid team and program, and they have been for you know, a couple decades. So it's definitely a challenge, but it's one thing I think our schedule helps us in this aspect, because we've been able to play very, very good spread teams like Reading, Swampscott, Marblehead. So we've gone and we've seen that offense run at a very high level. So I don't think, you know, as far as speed and concepts, it's all things that we've seen before. That being said, they're a very, very good mm-hmm. team, and, you know, we've got to definitely do a better job defending the spread, but at least we have some experience with it and with that type of athletes and that type of a well-run system.
And what's the general feeling after the win, Coach? Because, as I said, you've had some tough ones. The Marblehead game certainly was a hard one to smack in the face, but the boys bounced back, and you've got a win in the tournament. So practice this week should be pretty good, focusing on Duxbury.
Yeah, I think we just have to take it with the approach of, I don't know, we watched the film with the kids. We went and gone over it as coaches, and we really feel as though we have a shot. That being said, we know they're a good team, mm-hmm. but at this point, in the playoffs, everyone going to play is a good team. So, the kids, the coaches, same approach we've had before, really embrace the challenge and go down and lay it on the line. And, you know, that's what playoff football is about. That's what, you know, why we played a tough schedule all season long, to constantly challenge ourselves. And we hope that, you know, we see the benefits of that in this playoff game.
All right. This game is Friday night at Duxbury. Is that correct?
Yes, it is.
So all right. And I'm sure.
Got a nice bus ride ahead of us.
Uh-huh. Yep. And I'm sure people will get out there, their GPSs or their series and figure out how to get down there. What was the other thing I wanted to ask you about? One more thing. Oh yeah, the turnout, Coach. Some strange setup this year. You got to buy tickets online through the MIAA or something like that.
Oh yeah, I know that they did the ticket thing before. I'm not really sure why. I won't speculate too much, but they all had to be purchased, and then I think at the last second, the athletic directors did a pretty good job talking to the people at the MIAA about potential issues with, you know, a grandmother showing up to a game,
sure.
or somebody else who didn't know that they had to buy it previously,
mm-hmm.
and they changed that rule maybe a day before the game to allow people to buy them at the site.
I didn't know that. That's great. Thank goodness.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's tough. And you know, with everything going on now, too, a lot of people are technologically savvy, but some people aren't. And, you know, you would never want to turn someone away from a high school football game because they didn't purchase a ticket online.
Yeah, you're darn right. Darn right. Well, that's good. All right. So everybody's got to get in their cars and head on down to Duxbury. Coach, I appreciate it. We're going to talk to you, if not next week, then certainly before Thanksgiving. But I hope it's next week.
Well, I hope so, too. And, again, I appreciate everything you guys are doing.
Right back at you, Coach. Good luck and be safe, be well.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Coach. Take care.
You too.
Bye-bye. That is Danvers High School football coach Ryan Nolan with MSO News Sports. I'm Rick Moore.